You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're taking your calls, your SMS, your emails, even your tweets on the subject of Saudi Arabia and respect. The word respect is important to me. I'm the leader of the Respect Party. The word respect is a very fine word, ihtiram in Arabic. It is something to be respected. It is something to give. To give respect. But you have to earn respect. And you can have respect and lose it if you are no longer behaving in a way worthy of respect. And it's my case that the rulers of Saudi Arabia, not the people, not the land, not the holy places in the land, are no longer worthy of respect. If they ever were, that respect has gone. I respected the previous king because of personal relations with him. On a personal level, I found him to be an honorable person. I've even met the current king, though quite a long time before he became the king. I'm not a knee-jerk enemy of Saudi Arabia, and I certainly never allow Saudi Arabia to be attacked gratuitously, egregiously, in a way that is really just an attack on Muslims, an attack on Islam, or an attack on Arabs, an attack on Bedouin. Actually, I like Bedouin. I like Arabs. I like Arabians. In fact, I have a very large following on Facebook and Twitter from Arabia. But that doesn't mean I can respect the rulers of Saudi Arabia, still less the role that they are currently playing in the region and the world. Let's hear from Ramzan in Wales. Ramzan, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum to you, George. How are you?
Alaikum salam.
Good. What do they know about respect? The 16,000 royal family, they don't know what respect is, George. Because for simple reason, they don't even respect their own people.
No.
How they gonna go respect everybody
Actually,
else?
They don't even respect themselves.
Yeah.
If you look at the way a huge percentage of them live, they don't even respect themselves.
Yeah.
When you are engaging in systematic hypocrisy, Ramzan, you're not respecting yourself.
The thing is this, the other point I want to make, George, right, okay?
Yeah, go on.
Hello?
Go on.
Sorry.
Bro.
The other point I want to make, this is what the Muslim Ummah and the public, the Muslim public should be looking at. The CIA is working towards the Sunni Ummah to cause division amongst themselves, and the MI5, MI6 are working with the Shia, certain groups, to divide the Shia into different sects, because they know once they keep on dividing, and the Mossad are working with these terrorists and Saudi government to with ISIR, Taliban, and all the other. And this is, I'm just trying to spread the word around to the Muslim Ummah. Please wake up. This is what they're trying to do with the Muslim Ummah. There is no division amongst the Sunni or the Shias at all. You know, there is a little difference between the two brothers, but it doesn't mean we have to go around killing one another. Let's get together and let's stand united as all Muslim Ummah and all for mankind and humanity. This is the teaching of our Prophet Muhammad and his family. Peace be upon them. And please, please, Muslims, let's get together, leave our tiny differences away, and let's unite with these organizations who are trying to divide us. Thank you very much indeed,
George. Ameen, thank you very much, Ramzan, for a very powerfully put set of points. I'd only differ from you in this regard. I don't know the job descriptions of the CIA, the MI5, MI6, Mossad in this affair. I have no doubt that the intelligence services report back to their political masters that there are deep divisions amongst the Muslims, perhaps getting deeper and wider. But my take is that the Muslims don't need any help to be disunited. The Muslims don't need much encouragement to fight amongst themselves. The Muslims don't need foreigners to divide them. They are more than ready to do that job for themselves. I have personal experience of this, quite recent personal experience in the last few months in this year of 2015. I've seen it develop across the world in many important respects. And I said it in a debate I had with a young woman in Lebanon, in Beirut. It's on YouTube, and it's been seen by many millions of viewers. I made this point to her, and I make it again now to you and the audience, that if the Muslims wanted to be united, no power on earth could stop them. There are almost 2 billion Muslims in the world. That's almost a quarter of every person, the whole population of the world. There are 350 million Arabs between the Atlantic and the Persian Gulf. 350 million. With all that oil, all that gas, all that water, all those people, all that land, all that seaboard, all that history, one language, one God, largely one religion. What a superpower they could be if they only could find their way to unite with each other. And it's not good enough to blame the Hawaja, to blame the foreigner, to blame this or that foreign power, because, first of all, it's imagining that our rulers in Britain are James Bonds rather than the Austin powers that they truly are. The United States cannot control what happens in a college or a school in any part of the United States. Children come in and massacre their fellow students and teachers on an almost monthly basis. The state of affairs in the United States, or Britain for that matter, is such that it doesn't automatically lead you to believe that the rulers of Britain and America and France are James Bonds. They so are not. So the real blame has to lie with the Muslims themselves, because if they chose to, they could unite, and if they did unite, no power on earth could stand against them making their own societies better and showing a better face to the other societies in the world than they currently do. Let's hear from Abdulrahman in South Africa. Go ahead, brother. Thank you for calling.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nice to hear from you again, brother.
I would like to comment what Allah says in the Holy Quran. He said, if you donate and give everything whatsoever on the earth to try to unite these pagan backward Arabs or these backward Muslims, you will never be able to do it. The only thing, they must change their hearts and change their minds and go back to the Holy Quran and try to read it with understanding. Then they will become united. They only understand to perform jihad against themselves. They have no definition about what is jihad all about. These pagan Yazidis in Saudi Arabia, do you know what they tell the Hujjaj when they go there? They tell them, if you speak politics or say anything against our pagan government here, do you know what we did to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We kicked him out of Makkah, so we will kick you out as well if you must say anything against our Yazidi government. So what I'm trying to say, the Muslims as individuals, they must wake up and start to read the Holy Quran to understand. That's the only solution for them. Otherwise, they will continue the way they are until they all die.
Well, thank you, brother. A powerful point. You made it before, but it's nonetheless powerful when you make it again. Nobody has a duty to respect unjust rulers. Nobody has a duty to respect incompetent and unjust rulers. And when on top of injustice and incompetence comes hypocrisy, hypocrisy on a scale almost unimaginable, then not only has no one a duty to give respect to such a political leadership, they have a duty to raise up their voice, their hand, their heart against it. That's the truth of the matter. Nobody, not God nor anybody on earth, gave the Saud family the right to rule unjustly, incompetently, hypocritically over Arabia. In fact, of all places, over Arabia. Let's go to Iran. We have a caller there waiting to talk to us. Go ahead, please. Shahram?
Hello, George.
Welcome, welcome.
Yes,
go ahead.
It's Shahram. Hello, how are you?
By the grace of God,
okay?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Okay, it's Shahram from Iran. I want to press my idea. I want to say my idea.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't hear you.
No, go ahead. The floor is yours.
I think, okay. You know, with all due respect to all the Arab people around the world, I can dare say that Saudi Arabia's government is the worst country in the world, because as we see today, they are supporting Daesh, ISIL groups. That, you know, what is happening in Syria, in Iraq, it's horrible, you know, it's out of imagination. As we see, you know, women aren't allowed to drive there, and, you know, there is a horrible gender discrimination there is a sexism there. As we see, Saudi Arabia's government, you know, attacks to, you know, Yemen, and they're killing all the children, all the women there, and, you know, I think I can dare say that Saudi Arabia, you know, doesn't know anything about humanity. And this is so obvious, as you said, as you also mentioned, that, you know, they discriminate between Shia and Sunni, and, you know, in most of the cases, they think that, you know, Shia Muslim are the worst people around the world. So these are, you know, all the things that I'm saying that Saudi Arabia is the worst country in the world. You know,
I don't know about the worst in the world, but it's definitely up there or down there, at the top of the league of injustice, incompetence, corruption, or at the bottom of the league of the just, the competent, and the sincere.
You know, what happened last month, you know, all the pilgrims went there, you know, and the majority of our pilgrims, you know, have been killed there, and, you know, the authorities in Saudi Arabia didn't care, even they didn't apologize. Because, you know, I think that, you know, they themselves planned this, you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's evidence that they planned it. What is obvious is that they handled it after the fact in a shocking and duplicitous, dishonest, hypocritical way. It's obvious that at the very least they are responsible for criminal negligence in their duty to handle the pilgrimage. It's not as if it was the first pilgrimage, or that they don't have experience of handling the Hajj over all these centuries. So we don't have to say that they planned it. I think there's no evidence that they planned it. My take on them is that they're not capable of planning anything. If they had planned it, they wouldn't have been able to carry it out. But my point is that no one has a duty to respect them. The ambassador seemed to imply, in fact did imply, that Jeremy Corbyn owed a duty of respect to the political regime in Saudi Arabia. In fact, his duty was to oppose the political regime in Saudi Arabia for all the reasons we've all been talking about tonight. Here's Hanin in Tanzania. Hanin, welcome.
Yes, yeah, thank you, George. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Welcome.
I was listening to the lady earlier, Fatma, I believe, and she said that she was amazed that Muslims in many countries seem to be giving a lot of respect to the Saudi regime and the rulers there. I just wanted to add one thing that I have observed myself in Tanzania and many of the third world countries. Saudis are giving a lot of money to the sheikhs and, you know, poor people here.
Yeah,
they are
yeah.
buying this respect.
But, Hanin, you know the old Beatles song, "Money Can't Buy Me Love." I know lots of people that I know lots of people that take a lot of money from Saudi Arabia, but it doesn't mean they love them. On the contrary,
yeah, they don't. It's unfortunate that. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate though that some of them go overboard to praise the Saudi, to give them the kind of respect that I don't think they deserve. Just like Corbyn says.
Well, I think you've made your point very, very well. And greetings to all my friends in Tanzania. I hope to visit you before very long. Thanks very much for that call. We're discussing what does Saudi Arabia know about respect for human life and heritage. We didn't even really touch on the heritage yet. Their vandalism, their historic, in fact, anti-historic vandalism of ancient places, holy places, their funding of the Syrian rebels, terrorist forces who have laid waste to the heritage of Syria is enough to make it laughable that we should in any way respect them for their attitude to our heritage. Their attitude to the human rights of their own people in their own country is legendary, if that is the correct word. Their attitude to those asking for the right to put an X on a piece of paper, to choose the political system that they live under, to choose their leaders in Bahrain, was met by an invasion and occupation of Bahrain and the brutal attempt to crush the democracy movement there. Their 31 weeks, did I say earlier, of bombardment of Yemen, which has led to the deaths of thousands, most of them women and children, none of them targeted, absolutely indiscriminate bombardment of even the ancient parts of the capital city of Sana'a, government offices, departments, and so on. The massacres of the people in Yemen, the absolute silence whilst the people of Palestine were and are being massacred, their role in boosting and arming and in every way helping the Takfiri fanatics in the parts of Iraq and Syria that they occupy, their absolute determination, even when the rest of the world has grown tired of the carnage in Syria and determined to try diplomatically in Vienna or in Geneva to bring it to an end by diplomatic and political means, their absolute determination to continue to pay for and arm that carnage leaves them utterly bereft of respect, in my opinion. Now, I know that they spend a lot of money amongst Muslims in the world, building more and more and more and more mosques. I know that. But I don't believe that the Muslims praying in those mosques, or even the Muslims on the committees that are negotiating the transfers in order to pay for these mosques, can really respect this that we're looking at. In any case, there's nothing religious about the Saudi leadership. God didn't give them the power that they have. They took it by the sword. They live lives, the overwhelming majority of them, 60,000, 30,000 princes, 30,000 princesses, they live lives of absolute sinful dissolution, absolutely un-Islamic, anti-Islamic lives. There is nothing religious about them. In my preaching against the leadership in Saudi Arabia, the last thing in the whole world I'm doing is preach against Islam. These people have nothing to do with Islam. They are doing their best to destroy Islam. The policy they're following and the people they're backing and the international alliances that they have with Britain, America, France, and other imperial powers, and their steady, slow but steady closeness to the Zionist settler state that they call Israel, all of these things invalidate any claim to be Islamic leaders. These are not Islamic leaders. Therefore, to oppose them is absolutely not anti-Islamic. Ahmed is in Arizona, where I'd like to be myself this very evening. Ahmed, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you if you're aware that 4 million sheep are slaughtered to death during the Hajj ceremony for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And number one. Number two is that, do you realize that Muslims are supposed to go to Hajj as a universal conference to get together as if the UN does once a year with the leaders of the country coming? It's supposed to be something like that, but none of that sort is ever being done. The people go there, all they care about is their food and their doctor, medical care, and they stay with their own people. No Iranian ever meets an Egyptian or a Syrian meeting any Iraqi. They are totally isolated from each other. The whole thing reminds me of paganism during before Muhammad, when the Arabs actually worshipped the pagans. So, you know, I don't mean any disrespect, but going around the Kaaba, it's sort of reminds me of paganism. That's all they do. There's nothing else goes on at the Hajj. And they just buy a bunch of Chinese souvenirs. They put billions of dollars in the bank accounts of the Saudi kings, and they come back home as if they bought heaven. This is so ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy what goes on, and there is nothing good comes out of Hajj. Absolutely, these poor countries, they take all their money, they take to Hajj, they waste it theirs, and they come totally empty-handed. And they have a label when they come back, they're called Haji. So that gives them extra prestige and credibility in their community because they've gone to Hajj. The whole thing is absolutely ridiculous, and people don't realize it. I'm a vegetarian, and for me to see 4 million...
Well, you see, Ahmed, now I think you're crossing the borderline into an attack on the religion itself, and that's wrong. First of all, the 4 million sheep are fed to the pilgrims. So they're not massacred for no reason. They're killed to be eaten. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, although you're a vegetarian, I and most people in the world are not. Secondly, there is nothing pagan about walking around the Kaaba. The rulers of Saudi Arabia may occasionally, maybe more than occasionally, behave like pagans. But that doesn't mean that the millions, 3 millions, every year on the Hajj are pagans or have paganism in their heart. You're a good example of what I said I would never allow myself to be. Attacking Saudi Arabia as a political entity is one thing. Attacking Islam, Muslims, the religion, Mecca, and so on is beyond the pale. And I'm glad I got the opportunity to say that. You can continue the discussion, though, on Twitter. comment_PressTV.
Yeah, I know.